I do desire your prayers tonight. I've got a little thought or thought on my heart, actually, before a preacher even asks me to come say anything or do anything. I've actually been thinking on the idea of and thought of repentance. And anything I can say would be just of God, because I mean, in the flesh, I can't do anything out in myself. But I do pray and ask God to help me tonight. If you've got your Bible handy, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 26. Again, the book of Acts and chapter number 26. Now, I'll begin reading verse number 1. This is Paul before Agrippa. He says, the Bible says, "And then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning. If they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which, if you look back, you can see yourself right there. In the flesh, we are contrary to Jesus, amen. Contrary to the God of heaven. I'll continue on. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." In other words, he testified against those that were chosen of God. Them that were of God, he testified against them. "And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus at Jerusalem and through all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Father, tonight I pray, God, you, Lord, touch me and help me tonight. I pray, God, you help me, Lord, bring forth something from the Scripture, Lord, that you've shown me. I pray, God, you give me utterance and understanding. Ask you, Father, Lord, that you might move in the midst of your people. Lord, help us again tonight. Make your presence known, and we'll certainly thank you, praise you, give all honor and glory, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. I really want to focus on that last part there where he talked to him. He says, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And it in reality, all of that centers upon repentance. If you look at this scripture in the correct way, I see a testimony of the salvation of Paul. And if you've ever been born again, as God showed me, I have a testimony where I had a time of my life where God had revealed Himself to me and revealed to me exactly who I was, what I was, and that I was contrary to the God of heaven.
Right.
See, Paul was considered in amongst himself and amongst the people that he was around, even priestly, highly thought of people. He was well educated. He was to be a just man in the sight of men. And yet, here he is testifying to King Agrippa here of all these things that he had done and all these things that had transpired prior to God revealing himself to him and all these things, all these people he'd helped to kill, or in other words, that he had helped to martyr in the name of Christ. But the thing about it is, in this day, we can honestly take and realize what Paul was doing here is really a reflection of every single one of us. That we as ourselves, in the flesh now, have persecuted Christ Jesus at one time or another just because of who we are or what we are in the flesh as being a dirty, rotten, low-down sinner. Because we're contrary to what He is.
That's right.
And when he talked about these things here, of all these things that he's done, and how God had revealed himself, and he says, right here, he says, and I heard a voice speaking unto me, and he said, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. In other words, he had a revelation of who Christ really is. And if you've ever been born again, or if you have an understanding or a testimony within yourself, you can look back and see God revealed Himself to you.
Amen.
I believe there's a lot more revelation in this day than what really we understand and know. I see a lot of people that might have God revealed to them, and they turn and take that broad way, just as Agrippa. And if you'll read on later on, he says, almost thou persuadest me.
Yeah.
Almost. He had understanding, and I believe there was a revelation into him that, hey, what he's saying, it might be right, but hey, I'm going to go my way.
Yeah.
And regardless, Paul still gave a testimony.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
I really don't want to diverge off of that, but I mean, it's funny how sometimes we get it in our own minds that, oh, well, they're not going to hear me. I'm not going to say nothing. But the whole part of it is we need to glorify Christ in it. And I'm going to leave that there. But I really want to get on to this idea of repentance. I said, but here, after the revelation here, he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of things, of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which thou, in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. In other words, he's going to go into a people that he's been trying to persecute. He's going to go into a group of people who don't want to hear anything. He's going to a people that he's been considered low down. They're rotten. They're nothing.
Right.
He said, I'm going to send you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now this is the next part I really want to focus on. It says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision.
Right. Right.
In short, that is that one verse right there, in short, completely and utterly defines the word repentance. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. The term repentance, or to repent, and this is Webster's dictionary here. You'll have to forgive me. I still have my phone on. I'm going to use it because I took a picture because it's too long to write now. But repentance, real repentance, sorrow or deep contrition for sin as an offense and dishonor to God, a violation of His holy law, and the baseness and gratitude towards a being of infinite benevolence. This is called evangelical repentance and is accompanied, followed by amendment of life, meaning, hey, there's going to be a repentance and faith. They go together. They get one without the other. You can't have one without the other. I really want to focus on repentance here. I'll keep on. And it says, repentance is a change of mind or a conversion from sin unto God.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Conversion from sin unto God. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Woo! I'm here to tell you something. Whenever God comes in and shows you that what you really are, you have two choices. You either go with what God tells you to do, or you're going to run. I believe we got a lot of people in this day that's a running. I believe we got a lot of church people who ain't repenting of their sins daily. I believe we got a lot of people sitting in their church pews that ain't wanting to come down the aisle because they don't see no church members coming down the aisle. Why would they want to repent of their sin if the church ain't repenting of their sin? Just because we've been saved don't mean we ain't done a sin.
That's right.
We're still in the flesh, ain't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, that's the thing here. That's why I said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. That's not a one-time thing. That's something that's going to carry over for his entire life. That's something that's going to carry over for my entire life. That's something that I'm going to have to do. That's something that he did every single day until the day God called him home.
Right.
So repentance is not only just a one time, thank you, Lord, I'm done. Hey, that's a whole life thing.
That's right.
That's a day. That's something every single day we're going to have to admit we are wrong. That's a thing every day we're going to have to bow ourselves and ask God to come and forgive us of what we have done, because we're in the flesh. We are contrary to God.
Yeah,
right. Amen?
Sure.
So it's something we're going to have to do every single day.
Yeah.
In order for us to be obedient unto the heavenly vision. So each one of us has a different calling. The same calling that's on me. I still remember the day that God called my name.
Yeah.
It's as real to me today than it, as it ever was.
Yes,
believe it or not, it gets ever more real every day.
Because yeah. Right.
There's some things that in myself I still struggle with. I'm not a big speaker. I'm not one that's going to jump out there and have a huge conversation with somebody. I'd be more or less concerned with staying in the corner. But there's sometimes that God comes by just to touches my heart. I can't shut up, son. I can't keep quiet. I can't just back down and sit off in the corner. I just got to say something. I mean, you got to think of how Paul was in this instance. He's sitting before a man who could just snap his fingers and his life is over. And he chooses, instead of sitting there and begging and everything, he tells him how God saved him.
Right.
Ain't that something? I think Jonathan mentioned a little bit about that this morning. Ain't that something? We have opportunities day in and day out that we can testify of how good God is to us. We have opportunity, regardless of whether we do or don't, we have an opportunity. And honestly, we have an obligation.
Yeah.
To tell the world about how good God is and how God come in and saved us from what we was. And I mean, I'm not saying that he went out and threw all his dirty laundry out, but he did say the things, there were some things he persecuted the church. That he turned, that he was contrary to God. He eliminated that, the fact that, hey, I was wrong. And I was against God. And God come in and showed me I was wrong and revealed himself as he is. And then he saved me.
Yeah.
He called me into a good work.
Yeah.
Hey, ain't that something? He's on this way. He refers to it as a straight and narrow path. He's a marching along, and all of a sudden, bam! Oh, God. Lord, what would you have me to do? Ain't that how it was with you? you had your everyday life planned out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go through these things over here. If Lord not coming in and doing all these things, I thought I was all right. I had a good life laid out, and then, wow, Lord, oh, ain't that something? I don't believe Paul was standing in the presence right there. In all honesty, I believe he fell at his feet. I believe he fell prostrate before God in heaven at that point in time. A picture of humbleness before God. That's the first step of repentance right there. Whenever it's revealed to him, you got to humble yourself. Is that not what the Word of God says? Hey, whenever you humble, second part of that, whenever you humble yourself, you're going to have to admit what you are. And you're going to have, our own repentance encompasses so many things. Not only you're going to be humbled, you're going to have regret and sorrow, but you're going to have, it's an action word. It's an action word. It requires action on your part. You can't repent unless you move. Ain't that something? You can't turn the light on unless you move. That's just simple as that. I mean, we come in the house of God. Sometimes we take things for granted. I mean, because we come in, the lights are on, the heat is on. But there's some things that have to take place in order for those things to be turned on or to have those actions to come in. You got your light, you got your heat, and all these other things. Some things have to transpire. So if there's any work of God that's ever going to transpire in your life, there's some things that have to be done. You have to repent.
Amen.
That's why it says, study to show thyself approved. Because if you study, you're going to see some things in your life, in my life, that's going to show you what you are. If you really think about it, this is really a mirror. It's a mirror. It's a picture and a mirror. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, why He come, who He was, what He did, and it's a record of what transpired, and it's a record of what will come to pass. Not only is it those things, but it's something that will reveal to you what you are. And when it reveals to you what you are called to repent and turn. You are called to have a sorrowful heart for what you are. It does. Look back and see what I was. I mean, God don't look back and see what I was, because that's gone. It's covered. But I can't help but sometimes think, why would God save an old wretched nobody like me? I mean, Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners. He was referred to himself as a low-down, dirty, rotten Gentile dog. That's what I am. I mean, he'd be Jewish. But the whole point being is that he was low. He referred to himself as what he was. If we could just continue to see ourselves as what we are. Without God, we are nothing. That's the thing. That will help you, church. It helps me to see myself for what I really am, that I might be able to repent. Even now, every day, sometimes I'll be going down the road and I want to turn the radio on to an old song that I used to listen to. Man, that's the song that's, yeah, I got that. Hey, it don't touch me the way it used to. I tell you, I might get a little bit of something out of it for a few moments, but then it's like that ain't who I am. That ain't who I am anymore. Repentance is something that's really been pushed off to the wayside. We hear it all the time now, and it's preached in churches. And across the radio a lot. You just believe. Have faith. Just believe. Just have faith. All the time. But you never hear anything about repentance anymore. You never hear anybody talk about turn from your sin and turn to God. That's really all repentance is a turn from sin. Turn from who you was to an about face. Going to Him. We can get that in our minds. Son, how much God would do for us if we can just grasp that idea of repentance. I tell you a good man to listen to on that, Brother Billy Mitchell. In fact, I've been listening to a lot of him here of late. It's been a help to me. Any young man, young woman, it don't matter what age you are, it would do you good just to stop and take some time to sit and listen to some preaching. Sit and read your Bible a little bit. I don't read it like I ought to. I'm just being honest. I let everything else get in the way. That's something I need to repent of. Lord, help me. I mean, I had to, before service, I had to go back there and get back there in Miss Jennifer's class there for a few minutes and just pray and ask God to help me this evening, because I ain't studied like I ought to. I don't pray like I ought to.
Amen.
You know, you want to know why we don't have revival like we used to? Why do we have a stirring of God like we used to? Because we don't repent. We don't pray. We come in here, we say we want God, and then we don't do anything that requires the action on all parts. We're getting lazy, in other words. I want God. I want Him to move. I want people to hear something from heaven. Amen. I want God to stir His people. It might do you good sometimes. I mean, I'm not encouraging to go elsewhere, but it might do you good sometimes to visit a camp meeting at one time or another. And I'm talking about a good old-fashioned church camp meeting. Get stirred up. Throw some logs on the fire. It might do you good to show up to church a little bit early to get back here and just pray and ask God to help. Why don't we pray anymore? Some things, I'm preaching to myself here because I know I'm not by myself in this.
Right.
You know, the thing about it is, if you look later on, he talks about Festus and them. Basically, he says, verse 24, he says, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad.
John, didn't you say something about people might look at you like you're crazy?
Hey, I hear it today, you ought to go to school. But hey, I there it is. He's got too much learning. Had other men that stood and preached and revealed truth, and they were perceived to be dumb and ignorant and unlearned men. Just because you got this degree of this or this degree of that, or this much money, or you have this class of society, doesn't mean you can't be used. And it doesn't mean that you're not able to be a help and a blessing to somebody else. Or it doesn't mean you can't pray or that you can't testify of how good God is to you. There's a lot of things that hinder us in this day. What is it that's holding you? What is it, in all honesty, what is it that's keeping you from repenting and getting closer to God? Sinner, what is it that's pulling you away from the call? King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me. Ain't that something? Almost. There's a lot of almost in this day. Look at this right here too. But showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. That word meet means fit or necessary, or those things that are needed to be. In other words, if you put that in, do works necessary for repentance. Or fit for repentance. There's some things we have to do in order to repent. What is it that you have to do to repent? What are you not letting go of, church? Saint, sinner? What are those things that's keeping you? There's a lot of things keeping us in this day. What is it? It's time to get to repenting and believing God. Because we're not doing that. Father, I thank you, dear God, for this day. I thank you for your word. Pray, God, you might use it.